prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning, where faith and reason meet. We are Truth Revolution.
And we are glad to be here this morning.
I am Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff. And we are from Revolution Church.
Revolution Church loves you, loves God. We are all about giving each other mercy and forgiveness.
Amen.
And trying to find Jesus.
So happy all the time.
Yeah.
We are. I mean, you know, people might think, they're just like that on the radio. But no, seriously, we are genuinely like this in person.
You got to come to our church. Sometimes we like bring four-wheelers on stage.
Yes.
You can wear whatever you want.
Yeah, don't suggest sitting in the front row when he brings the four-wheeler on stage.
Or when I do a water analogy with water balloons or something. Now, we're not saying you come because it's a circus, but it really, we try to capture people's attention.
Right. Well, and not only that, but when you make an analogy or something like that with a physical prop, it's going to stick in people's minds a lot better, I think.
Yeah, that's true. You know, like we had a four-wheeler tire on stage. Not the whole four-wheeler, just a tire this last week to use as an analogy. And it was helpful, I think, what we talked about.
Yeah.
But and you can wear whatever you want here at Revolution Church.
Right.
Anything.
You don't have to dress up in a suit and tie, man.
That's right.
You just come in street clothes.
Look, I'm the preacher. And right now, as I speak, I am wearing a t-shirt with pit stains and jeans.
Yes. I will say yes. Affirmative on the pit stains.
Well, it's white there now. Anyway, we're glad you guys are listening. We believe in questions. We believe in logic. We believe in science. We believe in the Bible. We believe all of those can go together, don't
right.
we, Dave?
Well, not only can they go together, but it's not like can they go together. They exist together. They are supposed to be together.
It's like peanut butter and chocolate.
Right. It's like peanut and butter. It's like peanut butter.
Butter.
What I'm saying is when you say peanut butter and chocolate, it sounds like you take two things and put them together. But what I'm saying is logic and faith.
Oh, yeah. It's like the same thing
almost.
Absolutely. They are hand in hand.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that is right. It's like, it's like faith and reason. Mm-hmm. There's no other way to put it.
Right.
It's logical. We believe in truth, and we believe science can lead us to truth, and we believe faith can lead us to truth, because faith is in the Bible, in God, in reality. Now, we're going to do a Bible contradiction on the show today, because people say the Bible contradicts itself a lot.
A ton.
And so we solve those each week, if you haven't listened. We also are going to do a listener question, because we love to answer people's questions.
Right, and we get a ton of them. So if you got a question, shoot it at us.
And by the way, sometimes people may think, I'm not going to send in a question because it's just not going to get on air. It's not going to get answered. Do you know, we try to answer every single question. If we can't do it on air, I try to respond in email.
There you go.
We don't get 1,000 a week yet. So, I mean, if we're at a point where we're getting 1,000 a week, I might not be able to answer them all via email. Right. But send in your question. We try to answer every single one of them. And then also today, we are finishing something we started last week.
It's going to be interesting because, if you listened to us last week, we basically headed into the show with really basically no prior preparation.
Yes, that's the whole goal. We have not read this article ahead of time. It is an article written by somebody saying, here are the reasons we know God doesn't exist.
Right.
And we have not examined this ahead of time. We're doing this right off the cuff to show that it is reasonable and possible to answer objections right as you hear them.
Right. And if it's anything like it was last week, I mean, the objections are answerable.
So, like shooting fish in a barrel.
Right. Now, and so people shouldn't feel like, well, what if somebody asks me questions about my faith?
Right.
Will I be able to answer them? Well, yeah. With a little bit of study.
You can. And this isn't to show that the objections are stupid. People have good questions and good objections, but there are answers. That's the whole premise of our show, is Christianity has answers to the objections, and we have good reasons to believe. Okay, so last week we did objections 1 through 4.
Right.
Now we're going to start with objection number 5. So let's go ahead and read this for the very first time. We're going to read and hear what this objection to the existence of God is, or to Christianity.
And this is one thing that we've talked about forever.
Okay.
It's the fact that religion runs in families.
Okay.
And you know, we do this to ourselves as Christians.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Christian because my mother's a Christian and because her father was a Christian and her father before that.
Mm, and we don't like that.
And we don't like that. I mean, we like the fact that you're Christian, but we want you to know why.
Right, exactly. Don't believe something just because your grandpa believed it. No.
But anyway, she says here, the single strongest factor in determining what religion a person is, It's what religion they were brought up with. By far, very few people carefully examine all the available religious beliefs or even some of those beliefs and select the one they think most accurately describes the world. Overwhelmingly, people believe whatever religion they were taught as children.
Okay, this is, I mean, she's probably right.
You know, that's one of our objections.
Yes. You know, but here's the deal. And we were asking this question last week, so we're going to ask it again every time, just about. Mm-hmm. Or I'm guessing we will. Does what she say proves there's no God, or does it prove that Christianity is wrong, or does it prove that Jesus did not fulfill prophecy and rise from the dead?
Right. Just because somebody believes something that their father believed doesn't mean that that belief is wrong.
Exactly. It doesn't matter how you came to a belief. It doesn't mean your belief is incorrect. Mm-hmm. This is actually a fallacy. It's you can't say that. I mean, I agree. Like, if I was born in India, perhaps I wouldn't have been raised as a Christian. Maybe I wouldn't be a Christian now. Perhaps I would be a Buddhist or a Hindu, probably. That's a good possibility.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that Hinduism is right and Christianity is wrong. It doesn't mean both of them are wrong. It certainly doesn't mean that.
It certainly doesn't mean both of them are right.
Exactly. It certainly doesn't mean that either. She says, we don't do this with science. We don't hold on to the steady state theory of the universe or geocentricism. And that's true. We don't, I mean, to a certain extent, you don't say, well, my family believed in geocentricism, so I do too.
Right.
Well, my family was heliocentric, so I... You know, we don't do that. We do it with politics, probably.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, because I mean, I grew up as a Republican,
mm-hmm.
dyed in the wool.
There you go. You
know? And so
now I happen to know you're not a dyed in the wool Republican right now.
Not anymore. I happen to be a libertarian.
You can't say that word on air.
I'll say it.
I'm
again.
Just kidding.
I'm a libertarian.
I like that word. Okay. Anyway, what we're saying is, the fact that religion runs in families doesn't mean that religions aren't true or false.
Right.
You have to look at the evidence, and it doesn't matter whether someone is or isn't, or why they are or why they aren't.
Right. And how would you explain when somebody like from another religion, like say Hindu or Muslim,
yeah.
turns to Christ and they have, you know, their faith is huge.
Sure, because they've looked at evidence. Ravi right. Zacharias is a good example mm-hmm. of that. There may be, in fact, people turning from Christianity to Hinduism. And of course, just because one person decides one thing doesn't mean it's true or false.
Right.
What we want to look at is the evidence. Why do we say Jesus was Lord? Did he really rise from the dead? That's the big question.
Right, and I know I say this every week, but if you go back and listen to a lot of our earlier shows,
yeah.
you'll find out that we do have the evidence.
That's so. Right. All right, now number six, the sixth reason we shouldn't believe in God that we have not yet read.
The physical causes of everything we think of as the soul.
What?
Huh?
The physical causes of everything we think of as the soul.
All right.
She says, everything we think of as the soul, consciousness, identity, character, free will, all of that is powerfully affected by physical changes to the brain and body. Changes in the brain result in changes in consciousness. Sometimes so drastically they make a personality unrecognizable. Okay, we don't need to read the rest of this. We know what she's talking about.
I could see where physical changes affect those things, but consciousness really isn't a physical thing.
Right. No, it's not a physical thing, but she's saying that you make physical changes. Well, like she says here a little bit later, all of these can make changes to the supposed, quote, soul.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Both subtle and dramatic. And death, of course, is a physical change that renders a person's personality and character not only unrecognizable, but non-existent. Later, she says, the hypothesis of the soul, on the other hand, has not once in all of human history been supported by good, solid scientific evidence.
Right, because you cannot scientifically test a soul.
Well, that's true, but I'll prove it to you right now.
All right, do it.
I'll prove it to you. You have a soul right now. Let's, if you have someone go over and grab your hand.
Okay.
Okay, Dave, put your hand on the desk here. I'm going to do this for all just right. a minute here. We're going to move around in the radio room.
Don't hurt me.
He's actually moving his mic. Okay, you put your hand on this desk, please.
All right, there it is.
All right, now I am lifting Dave's hand in the air. Dave, why did you lift your hand up?
Because you lifted it.
So who lifted it?
You lifted it.
Did you lift it?
I did not.
Okay, I just proved you have a soul. There were physical causes that lifted your hand. But just because there is a physical thing that changed and happened to lift your hand up doesn't mean that you did it, because you are different than your physical objects. Now, let's put this a little bit further into brain science. Let's say someone gets inside your brain, cuts your scalp open, takes a little tool, touches an electrode in your brain, and your arm raises up in the air.
Yeah.
And we would
that happen.
We would say, Dave, why did you raise your hand? And you might say, I didn't. Your brain clearly sent a signal to your hand, and it raised the hand. It was all physical, but you would say, quote, I didn't. The I
inside me,
is different than my physical body.
Right.
Dave is different than your physical parts.
Okay, I got you.
You have a soul, and we have just proven it. Wow. Because the I, who you are, is different than your physical body. And just because someone can make your physical body do something doesn't mean that you are only physical parts.
That was fun.
Yeah. I mean, if it's easy. You just, if someone grabs your hand and forces you to pull a trigger on the gun, it was your physical body that did it.
Right, but you didn't
do it. But you didn't do it.
Ah, gotcha.
We recognize this. Now, and we also, we don't have a problem with people saying that the physical body affects the soul.
Right.
We have no problem with that whatsoever.
We recognize that.
Right. Christians have always said the soul and the body go together. Mm-hmm. God created us as a soul-body unity. We are soul dualists here at Truth Revolution. We believe that you have a body. We believe that you have a soul, and they can interact, but they are different. And that's fine. That's the way Christians believe. That's the way we believe since the beginning of Christianity,
right?
Since Judaism, since Abraham, before Judaism, since Adam and Eve.
Care to go back any further there?
No, that's all right. That's about as far back as I want to go.
You're on a roll.
Sent the people before Adam and Eve.
Huh?
Crickets. All right, just kidding. Right. Just kidding. All right, that's hopefully that one answers that question. Okay, we are going to be taking a break really soon, and I want to make it really clear that you guys should. Before we get to the break, you need to be going to truthrevolution.tv.
Definitely. You can check out past shows. You can check out Truth Shots.
Yeah, we do these things called Truth Shots. They're 60 seconds apiece. Mm-hmm. You can focus for 60 seconds, my ADD friends.
If I can do it, you can do it.
So 60 seconds apiece every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We just throw them out there. Arguments, reasons to believe in God. Good chunks of truth, whatever they may be. Mm-hmm. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 60 seconds. And a lot of times they'll come even with videos. So pretty cool stuff.
There you go.
Yeah, truthrevolution.tv. Now, we are also interested in having you come check out Revolution Church.
Yeah, 1111 West South.
That's right. That's our street. If you know where Ace Hardware is, we're kind of across from there. Mm-hmm. But our service right now is at 10:15 in the morning.
Right, for now.
But in 2 weeks... we're going to have two services, 9 and 11:15 a.m.
So when you say in 2 weeks, are you saying the week after
next? The second week of October.
The second week of October,
yeah, which will be October 13th, all right? That's when we're going to two services because we've been growing.
Mm-hmm.
More people have been arriving and learning about God. It's awesome. We love it.
Yeah, it's great because you see new people all the time and you get to meet a diverse group of people.
Yeah, most people who are coming to Revolution either haven't been to church for a long time or they've never been to church. Mm-hmm. And that's the way we like it. You know, if you don't have a church, come on over and check it out. Right. You know, if you're at a church right now, just stay there unless you're at like a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon church.
Right. We definitely don't want to divide another church.
Right. That's right. So if you're at a good Bible teaching Christian evangelical church, stay there.
There you go.
But yeah, hey, you know, otherwise come check out Revolution Church. All right, we're going to do a Bible contradiction on the other side of this break. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, let's go ahead and read question challenge number 7.
Question challenge number 7. She says the complete failure of any sort of supernatural phenomenon to stand up to rigorous testing.
Ooh, has supernatural stuff been tested?
Right.
And has it failed?
Well, you know.
That's a good question.
I see the Discovery Channel all the time, and they got those ghost hunters on there.
Oh, jeez.
Pretty all freaky right. stuff.
On the other side of this break, we're going to answer the question, does the fact that science has tested religious stuff, supernatural stuff, and it's failed, does that prove there's no God or what? So we're going to answer that. We're going to answer a Bible contradiction.
Right.
We're going to answer a listener question.
There you go.
And we got a couple more questions of hers to get through, some challenges to Christianity. Thanks for listening in today. Hang on through the break. Visit truthrevolution.tv during the break. Send in your questions. You can email questions@truthrevolution.tv or you can go to the website.
Truthrevolution.tv.
And submit your question there by clicking on Ask Questions. You can also donate volunteer, send us hate mail, whatever you like. Catch us on the other side of the break. Answers to questions.
You're invited to Revolution Church this Sunday. Don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning, just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, salinarevolution.com. www.salinarevolution.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff. Even though we know the words of God are powerful, they don't always feel that way. Why?
Let's assume for a minute you're studying it properly, praying for the Spirit's help, and all of that, but it still seems weak.
There's one big thing you may be missing.
When I had my first car, I put the clutch in and revved it up. Finally, I dropped the clutch and...
You took off like crazy!
So after a minute, first the tires were screaming, smoke was all over, then I took off.
The engine was powerful, but until you dropped the clutch, it didn't matter.
The word of God is power, but until we drop the clutch and live it out, it won't feel powerful.
In Luke 6:46, Jesus asks the poignant question, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?"
What if we read the Bible, then followed through? What if we actually did what Jesus says to do?
I'm thinking the Bible would feel a bit more, powerful?
Yeah.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same. To be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back on the other side of that break.
Okay, let's do these challenges. Question number seven.
Question number seven.
A reason to not believe in Christianity or God is this.
Right, the complete failure of any sort of supernatural phenomenon to stand up to rigorous testing. And she's not talking about just tests. Just, you know, mealy-mouth testing. He's talking about
legitimate,
rigorous, double-blind, placebo-controlled.
Oh, snap.
Replicated, etc., etc., etc. Testing methods.
What'd she say, Dave?
They basically said, whenever it's the power of prayer, or whether it's the power of prayer, or faith even, or astrology, or life after death, the same pattern is seen. Whenever religious and supernatural beliefs have been made testable, or have made testable claims, and those claims have been tested... Not halfway tested, but really tested using careful, rigorous, double-blind, placebo-controlled, replicated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, testing. The claims have consistently fallen apart.
Okay, she says the claims have fallen apart when they're tested. She also says, occasionally a scientific study has appeared that claimed to support something supernatural, but more thorough studies have always refuted them every time. Of course... she says she's not going to cite any of the tests.
Well, she sounds like she knows what she's talking about.
She writes a bit more here, but let's just grant her. Let's just say she's right that there are tests about like the power of prayer, right. And every time they test whether prayer works or not, it doesn't work. Let's say that. Let's just give her that.
Okay.
Does that mean there is no God?
No.
That doesn't mean there's no God. Let's say my kids are trying to prove the existence of a friend of theirs, and I set up an experiment in my house, and I say, okay, you said your friend likes crackers, so I'm going to set up the exact crackers your friends like right here in my basement, and I'm going to watch them for 24 hours. And after 24 hours, those crackers have not been eaten, their friend did not show up. Should I therefore conclude that their friend does not exist? No, of course not.
That would be a pretty scientific test there.
Right, but you understand
right.
the point I'm getting at. Of course, that's kind of a ridiculous analogy, but you understand the point I'm getting at. Just because a being doesn't follow through on the behavior you had hoped them to
right.
doesn't mean that that being doesn't exist.
Yeah. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty of this, okay?
Okay.
God being a being himself
yeah.
has his own will
yeah.
and his own way.
Yeah.
And if he decides not to do something or to do something,
yeah.
what are you going to do about that? I mean, how right. can you say that, you know, just because I don't go in a certain direction doesn't mean I don't exist.
Right. You cannot perform scientific studies on a being who knows he or she is being studied. Like, that's kind of one of the things, right? She's like, it's a double blind study, right? Mm-hmm. The participants didn't even know that they're being studied. Excuse me. I'm fairly confident God knew.
Yes, one of his attributes is omniscient.
So you cannot say that it was actually a double-blind study, right. and you cannot say God wasn't aware of it. God has a prerogative to answer or not answer at his will, and you can't subject him to tests. In fact, we have historical records of Jesus doing miracles.
Right.
People claiming he's done miracles. They actually died to claim that he had done miracles. Mm-hmm.
Well, not only that, but there was a point where...
Hold on.
Okay, you go ahead.
Yeah, they actually died mm-hmm. to claim that he'd done these miracles. There's no reason to believe that he didn't. And then when people said to him, I want you to prove it, do me a miracle. His answer was, no, I'm not going to prove it to you. This is the historical record of Jesus.
Okay. Yeah.
So actually, historically, what we know about God is when people say, I'm going to test you and see if you do this miracle... That's when he says no.
Right? And that's a good point.
And so if we're looking to the Bible to see the character of God, and then we say, let's do a scientific test to see if God's going to answer this, Christians, we would say, well, according to what the Bible says, he's not going to answer
right.
at that point.
Because think of it this way. If he would just be at everybody's beck and call,
right.
I mean, you could just say, I'm going to test God. You know, I want $1 million. If God's yes. not, if God's not real, then I want $1 million.
Scientific study, we've set it up. Yeah. We're going to be billionaires at the end of this study. And oh, God had to answer to prove he existed right. to me. No, it doesn't work that way. God is a being who makes his own decisions and does not particularly like to be tested. You have to look at the evidence that he provides because he's God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to do this on his terms.
Right. The onus is on us, not on him. You
right.
know what I mean?
The question isn't, does he do things the way we think he should? The question is, how did God do things?
Right.
So, all right. Now, we're going to go ahead and answer a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Today's Bible contradiction comes from the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
That's a good acronym.
Right. It's the FFRF.org.
Because it's not an acronym.
Right.
Whatever.
And they want to say, shall we obey the law?
Mm.
They want to know, should we obey the law?
The government's law.
Yeah. 1 Peter 2:13 and 14 says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. That's actually 1 Peter 2:13, not 14. Matthew 22:21, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. So basically, split the two. You know, give Caesar Caesar's and give God God's, you know? But in Acts 5:29, Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings.
Okay. Mm.
So we got a...
Do you obey the human beings or do you obey God?
Right,
which one is it?
Legitimate contradiction here, right?
Right. So...
He laughs.
In our cracked acronym, which by the way, I love getting these things because people have actually looked at the Bible and they're trying to, hey, is right. there a problem here? Mm-hmm. And no, there's not a problem with this one. If you look at our cracked acronym, this is how we solve Bible contradictions. The K in cracked stands for knit together. The Bible is not a bunch of standalone sayings. It's not a bunch of proverbs that you can take out of context and just say, wow, this is the truth right here, period. Do this.
Right.
They are narratives. One book tells part of the story, another book finishes the story. Mm-hmm. There's paragraphs. You have to read each paragraph one after another. You have to read the whole story all together to understand it. The whole story is God is God, and he is in charge, and he's the one that we need to listen to, period.
Right.
God also puts some governments in charge, and we need to listen to them if and when they are doing the right thing.
Right.
As long as they have that authority from God, we need to obey them, even if we don't like it. But God is still our ultimate authority. That's the whole story of the Bible. So when Peter says, submit for the Lord's sake to every human authority, that's not a problem. When Peter, the same guy, told the government, no, we have to obey God instead of you, because they were telling him to not talk about God. Mm-hmm. Hey, that fits with the big picture. That fits with the knit together narrative. Yes. We understand. The whole point is God's one in charge. He puts some governments in charge, and we have to obey them, even if we don't like it, as long as it doesn't contradict what God says. And that's the answer for a Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Every week we do a Bible contradiction, and
yes,
it grows people in their confidence to be able to say, hey,
yeah,
maybe the Bible isn't as contradicting as I thought.
It really does. You know, hey, you know what? Before we run out of time, let's do a listener question.
Okay.
I got a question.
All right. Listener this week asks, why are so many of the epistles forgeries?
All right. So we've got epistles in the Bibles. Mm-hmm. And these are things like 1 Peter.
Yeah, they're letters.
Letters mm-hmm. written to people. Mm-hmm. Paul wrote some letters and epistles. Why are so many of them forgeries? And I really think I would disagree with how this question was worded. It's not why are so many of the epistles forgeries. It's why are there so many forgeries of epistles?
Okay.
The epistles we have in the Bible, those are not forgeries. Those are legitimate ones. We know who the authors were. The authors of the epistles we have in the Bible were written by prophets. That's the big question. When we include something as a book in the Bible, we include it because it was written by a prophet. It was accepted by people right as it was written. It's always been considered scripture. There are some false epistles, the Gospel of Thomas mm-hmm. and things like this, these Gnostic Gospels. Right. There are some false epistles, other books out there that are fakes. And these things were never accepted by the church as a whole. They were not written by prophets.
Right.
They were not carrying the power of God. They were not written by the Holy Spirit. And they were written many, 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 many years after Jesus.
And let's be honest, it takes about 10 minutes to spot a forgery.
Oh, yeah. Fake, you know? Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, the Bible has pretty much, like you said, knit together a whole knit together quality.
Yeah.
When something looks like it doesn't belong there,
it's pretty obvious.
Pretty obvious.
Plus, the main question is always, was this written by a prophet? I mean, if I had to narrow down why we include certain books in the Bible just to one criteria, I would say because a prophet gave us that writing.
Right.
If a prophet, a legitimate prophet, comes to us and writes something down as a message from God, we're going to take that and go, whoa, buddy. We know this guy was a prophet. We know he just wrote down truth. We need to remember this. And that's what the books of the Bible are. They are legitimate writings from legitimate prophets. And that's the answer for our listener question today.
All right. And if you got a question for us, don't hesitate. Go to our website, truthrevolution.tv, and hit answer our question or got a question. And
yeah.
You can send it to us, or you can send it to us at questions@truthrevolution.tv.
That's right. And, get on over to truthrevolution.tv. It's a great website. You got to get over there, check it out. Send it to your friends. Send it to your mom. Send it to your grandma. And send us up a question or a challenge. We'd love to hear from you. And you know what? Come on over to Truth Revolution. Come on over to Revolution Church today.
Right.
You can come over to Truth Revolution. It's in the same place.
There you go. 1111 West South Street here in Salina.
That's right. And we are meeting at 10:15 a.m. Sunday mornings right now. But the second week of October, we're going to two services. We want you to come out. Go ahead and check it. It's a great time to come and check us out.
Yeah.
We're growing. We'd love you to be a part of it. You don't have to be all religious to come out. You don't have to dress all up to come out.
Right.
Just be who you are, man. I'm looking at a tattoo on Dave's arm right now of a guitar.
I've got several of them.
He's got tattoos. We got people all over. We got tattoos. We got people who got piercings. We got people who are just straight up ugly. It doesn't matter.
You know, I'm all three of those.
I'm ugly. I'm an ugly man. That's all. No, just come on out. Whoever you are, whatever you look like, whatever you're wearing. And we are here to learn about God together. That's it. We're not here to judge each other's appearances. So come on out. Guys, I want you to know that Jesus He really does love you. He really does want you to find forgiveness for your sins. So come on out to Revolution Church and hear what God has to say today.